If parenthood came with a GPS, it would most likely just say recalculating. Join Yolandi Becker and her guest experts Wednesdays at 11 a.m. for Bump and Beyond, the show about pregnancy and babies. 101.9 megahertz of life.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Yes, it is time for Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker. And as always, we're talking parenting. Today's topic is something actually that I've spoken about partially before with various experts. I've spoken about this topic because it's also something I feel that is close to my heart a little bit. Maybe heart is not the right term. Close to my other parts is maybe a better term, but it is something that I've experienced myself and something that I've wanted to. And again, something that we've talked about before is pelvic health and our pelvic floor in the end of the day and how we can strengthen it. And this is how the topic came about today specifically, because in a previous discussion that we have spoken about this, the topic came up about a pelvic floor physio. And I didn't even know that that existed. And that's how this discussion. So today I am, and I mean, she's really, I was just telling her, I've asked around for a pelvic floor physio and her name came up 3 times. So clearly she's the expert in this field. Joining me today is Isabel Deist. Hello, Isabel. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Good morning, Yolandi, and thank you so much for the lovely introduction. I feel flattered.
You should.
I just told Yolandi, I think it's just because I'm older, so I think it feels a little bit longer. But thank you so much for the opportunity. I'm really looking forward to talking to you about a very big passion of mine. So.
Yes. And I mean, it really is. I mean, you've said in the bio that I got you, I'm not going to read the whole thing. That was too long. She's like too impressive and her credentials are crazy. But she has a passion for helping to restore healthy sexual and emotional relationships in her professional role as a physiotherapist and has been treating pelvic pain and dysfunction for approximately 20 years. So that is very, very, very impressive. So I'm very happy to talk about pelvic health. And again, as always with every week, I do want you to be part of this discussion. And I mean, this is a broad topic because I do feel that it can impact all women, especially all moms, starting from when you think about wanting to get pregnant till you actually get pregnant and things change for you down there. Again, I'm not even going to be afraid to say it. I love that I can say vagina on live radio, so I'm going to say it. I'm also, again, then it goes on to once you've given birth, how things change. And then afterwards, as you get older, it is such a embarrassing topic actually to talk about. And I think that's why I am so passionate talking about it, because even though it is embarrassing, it's just like talking about farts. You don't want to talk about that woman fart because we don't. But in the end of the day, it is actually quite a common thing. And the more we talk about it and the more we normalize it, we are going to realize that it's not an uncommon thing. And you know, there's people who can help you with this. You don't have to suffer in silence and never go on a trampoline ever again. Worry about when you cough that something's going to happen. No, because there are, and I mean, I've gone through a lot of things already and I didn't even know there's magical people like Isabel Deist out there that can help us with this issue. So as always, like I said, if you want to be part of this conversation, let me know. Let's normalize this. Don't make me talk about this all by myself and feel embarrassed all alone that I at one point coughed and a little pee came out. It's not happening anymore. I can comfortably cough now. I can even go on a trampoline. It's very impressive. Right. I can run like a crazy person. Nothing happens. And I want that for you. But share with me. Normalize this with me. Send me a WhatsApp on 061-895-1019. And let me know, have you trouble with it? Are you worried that this is going to be something that you have to worry about? Have you experienced something? What have you done to change things? Are you listening to me now and doing Kegel exercises? Share with me on WhatsApp, 061-895-1019. But Isabel, you are the expert on this field. And lots of us, I mean, I just talked about Kegels, and lots of us have heard about Kegels, pelvic floor health, and all these type of things. Can you explain to us what the pelvic floor actually is and what it does?
Yes, Yolandi. And I'm so privileged because it's like I want to write it on a billboard at some point in my life over the N1.
So, I would like that.
So that all women would know. So the pelvic floor is such a wonderful area. And I think a lot of women know that we've got pelvic floor muscles, but that's where it stops. And we know the term Kegels, and we hope we're doing it right. But the pelvic floor actually consists out of 14 muscles.
Wow.
So yeah, lots of muscles. And they all come from the pubic bone in front and attach to the tailbone at the back or in the area of the tailbone.
Okay.
So if you would sit on a bicycle, that's exactly where you would sit on. Okay. And it's a nice thick layer of muscle. So it's not a flimsy little thin layer, okay? And there's three passages running through it. So right in front is the bladder pipe or the urethra. So I always say it's as thin as an earthworm, okay?
Aye.
Then just behind it is the vagina. And the vagina is made for traffic. It's built for traffic. Okay. And then right at the back is the rectum with the anus. And I think you and Lisa spoke a lot about gut health and stuff last week.
Yes.
So those three passages is then controlled by those 14 muscles. Okay.
So that's a lot of muscles.
Lots of muscles. So that's why I say there's no reason for any woman of any age to battle with bladder leaking, farts that slips out, anything like that. Okay. So the main functions, if I come back to your question, is they do manage the bowel and bladder function. Sexual function, because we need elasticity in those muscles with pap smears and tampons and penetration. And then also it creates a lot of stability. And I think this is where pregnancy and post-pregnancy related problems come in, is they help with stability of the pelvic girdle. So your lower back, your abdominal area, and then the pelvic floor. That's why a lot happening there.
I mean, that's now, again, like it reminds me again of when the first time I gave birth. So I vaginally gave birth to both my children. Not a state secret. I think I've told this on the show about a billion times already. First one, Oscar was not prepared. Again, not a state secret. Really only thought about pregnancy, did not think about actual birth or taking care of a baby. But he's alive. He's turning 14 soon. He's taller than me. He wears a size 10 shoe. So all went well in the end. But with him, I remember the active birth part. So this is the actual pushing out part of the birth process, because birth is a very long process. But the active birth part was really with him a struggle. And then with Emmy, and now you're saying all those things are connected and we're like kind of distinguishing between the three functions. But in the end, with Emmy, I remember thinking, how do I push out a poop? How do I push out a poop? And that was the pushing out that I had to practice. And I'm loving this conversation already.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker, the show about pregnancy and babies. 101.9 megahertz of life.
It's come going.
And just like that, we are back on Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker. Thank you so much for joining me. If you've only just joined me, where have you been? We're talking about pelvic floor health and strengthening it. And again, if you're only joining us, this topic is something I've spoken about before with various experts. So I'm talking about it and normalizing it so that you know that it's not abnormal. And there's actually quite a lot that you can do about it. In my previous discussions, like I mentioned before, is that I actually realized there's even better help out there. And that's why I'm speaking to Isabel Dice today, a physiotherapist that specializes in pelvic floor. Again, if you've only just joined me, don't worry. This and all of my previous shows, also on this topic, is available as a podcast on Hive M. for you to go and listen to. Again, also, I do want you to be part of the conversation. So if you've got advice or just experience shares on pelvic health, if you struggled after giving birth or if you struggled even later, I feel like just after birth, it was not something that I even worried about in all eyes. It probably was a problem, but I wasn't even thinking about it. And later it became more of an issue. Now not an issue at all anymore. Again, because you can do something about it. Send me a WhatsApp on 061-895-1019. I would love to hear about your experience. And before we went to an ad break just now, I'm speaking to expert Isabel Dice, who is a pelvic floor physiotherapist. We were specifically talking about what is your pelvic floor and what it does. And it actually, like, the whole bottom part of you is your pelvic floor. It's like the three areas where it's helping with you peeing, you pooping, and your sexual health, which is, I feel, all three exceptionally important things to function as a normal human being. So clearly it is an important part, but that brings me to my next question, Isabel. Why should parents, especially new moms, be thinking about their pelvic floor before, during, and after pregnancy?
So, Yolandi, that's a very good question because things have changed quite a bit over the past years. When I trained as a physio, there was no such thing as pelvic pain or pelvic dysfunction. So what happened is someone would come in with a bit of bladder leaking after pregnancy, and we would just assume, oh, goodness, those muscles went long, lax, and loose. And then over the years with research, they discovered that, no, wait, they are the same type of muscle as in our lower backs and in our necks. So, surprise, they can also go short and tight. So, the thing is, during pregnancy, because there's load on those muscles can actually, instead of just going long, lax, and loose, become overactive and actually create a tightness in the pelvic floor, which can cause pain and things like not being able to properly empty your bladder or properly pooing, becoming constipated, having low back pain, pain with penetration. So during pregnancy, there's lots of changes that can happen. Vaginal birth, but also cesarean section, can also cause changes to those muscles. And I would like to talk a little bit about that later. And then after pregnancy, because of all the changes that might have happened during pregnancy, it's important to correct that function. So to answer your question, there is a lot happening in the pelvic floor during and after pregnancy.
Okay. But what is some of those things that parents can expect that is going to be happening to that? Is it just loose or?
No, it can go either way. But I think the most common things that a woman can experience during pregnancy is a lot of bladder overactivity in the first trimester of pregnancy, because there's lots of hormonal changes. So you might be waking up more at night in the night to go to the loo. You might be wanting to go every hour during the day. Some women might experience some changes in their bowel habits, so becoming a bit more constipated. And then late in pregnancy, that's when the pawpaw, as they say, really hits the fan. So
because the baby hits the pelvic floor.
Oh, that's a great way of looking at it. So then also any changes in bladder and bowel habits. I mean, it's not to say that you're going to have bladder leaking, but you might, and that's quite normal, and it's okay.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean it needs to be accepted. So you can do something about that, but we first need to see what happened in the pelvic floor. And that's where a pelvic floor physio can actually help you to just make sure, what did they go tight and short or long legs and loose? Because that depends on, would I do Kegels or not?
So you're actually saying there's a time that you don't even need to do Kegels?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. So there was a big debate going on, to Kegel or not to Kegel.
I like it.
No. So Kegels were and still are a very good way of exercising and strengthening the pelvic floor. But then we just have to make sure that those muscles are just weak. Because if they are short and tight, then you can do a Kegel to the best you can, but nothing will happen because they are already contracted. Okay. And then another thing is, women's connection with our pelvic floor is, to say the least, non-existing. Because we cannot look there. We weren't allowed to touch there. And half of the time we don't even know what we're doing with our pelvic floor. So a lot of women try their utmost best to do the Kegels, but it's like the brain cannot get the right muscles to contract.
Yeah.
And that's what we make sure. If they then, I always say, have good communication between the brain and the pelvis, then we can start doing the Kegels correctly.
I'm happy you're mentioning that awareness of that connection of the brain and the vagina or the Kegels or the, let's say, the pelvic floor area.
Yes.
Because I can remember, because one of the discussions I've had, and I mean, this is already, I feel, years ago, I had a discussion, and I even went for, you get these chairs that you go sit on. And I can't remember what you call it. But that was a lot about creating the awareness. It wasn't necessarily doing, it was also, it helped with a little bit of Kegel in the end of the day as well. But I think the big part of it was making the connection between the brain and the pelvic floor. That was the big kind of key change of you realizing that those things are connected. But now again, you've mentioned, and I think I'm jumping the gun now with the questions and everything. Yeah, but I mean, you've mentioned now it's either loose or it is tight, too tight. But now I come to you as the physiotherapist. How are you going to establish those things? I would love to know.
Nandi, it's very easy. The first session, we always do a good history taking, and we ask lots of questions about the bladder and the bowel and sexual function. So very easy way to establish if those muscles might be more short and tight would be pain with penetration. Because even after or before pregnancy, penetration should never be painful. Okay. And I always say, if you use lubricant, good lubricant, and it doesn't help, it still remains painful, whether at the opening of the vagina or feeling like something's hitting a wall deep inside, then that's most probably short and tight muscles, because lubricant won't do anything to the muscle. Okay.
Yeah.
So then we decide on what it might be more leaning to, long legs and loose or short and tight. But I must say, we usually see a mixture of both. And that's why we rather talk about pelvic floor dysfunction and not weakness or tightness only. If that makes sense.
Yeah, no. I also like the wording of that. I think a vagina should never be seen as weak.
So no. It's a very strong organ.
I also don't like to. I like the wording and the changing of that. If you've just joined me, you are on 101.9 High FM, and this is Bump and Beyond. And as always, we're talking parenting, and more specifically today, we are talking about us as moms and our pelvic floors and the importance of it. Because in the end of the day, it's very important. I mean, we're joking now a little bit about the sexual part of it, I guess, as well, which is a big part of it. Of course, because you are not just a mom. You are still yourself and you're someone's partner. And it is a big part. But I mean, in the same breath as well, the embarrassing part of peeing, pooping, farting, all those type of things. And it's all part of your pelvis or your pelvic floor. And it is an important thing for lots of different reasons. I just want to, and you also mentioned that, Isabel, earlier. My guest today is pelvic floor physio. And I mean, again, I've already learned a lot more, and I felt like I already knew a lot about this. Isabel Deist is joining me today. You mentioned earlier as well that there is a difference a little bit about, but what's the real difference? Right? So I'll just say that about the impact of vaginal birth, because often it's like vaginal birth, then you're screwed. Again, both of my kids vaginally birthed, and I'm fine now. Was it initially? And C-section. Because it's also like lots of moms, it's the same thing. It's like, oh, if you breastfeed, your boobs are screwed. But in fact, if you're pregnant, your boobs are screwed. Whether you breastfeed or not, it's not really the impact. So is there a big difference between a vaginal and a cesarean section when it comes to your pelvic floor?
So, Yolandi, yes. You just hit the nail on the head when you said, then it's the pregnancy that causes the change in the boobs. It's the pregnancy that causes the change in the pelvic floor. Okay, so, and this is just a disclaimer from what I see in my practice is over the years, is that if we look at the long term, I would still say, if you can and if it's safe, vaginal delivery still remains the best option. Yes, your pelvic floor goes through a lot of trauma. I mean, if I would stretch your hamstring muscle like that, it would go into some of a spasm, it would be sore, it would want not to contract. But cesarean sections are actually major abdominal surgery. So if you had major shoulder surgery, the muscles in that area would be affected. And the same with the pelvis. So, and then you've got lots of scarring. Me, myself, had two cesarean sections because I think my son would have still been in there 23 years later. But I always tell women, luckily, we've got both ways of getting baby into the world, okay? And it makes the risks of injury to babies and fetal death and mommies bleeding out. Luckily, we've got cesarean sections. But if you do not want changes in the pelvic floor, then don't get pregnant because that's where most changes happen.
Yeah. And I mean, I mean, there is a debate about the trauma that you're causing. But in some ways, I have to say that vaginal birth, that awareness that we were talking about, but the connection really made me a lot more, especially the second time around. And I spoke about that, where I was a lot more aware of what's going on. And I feel that connection happens a lot better when you have vaginal birth between the brain and which you then don't have when you have a cesarean. But again, there's not a right or a wrong. I just wanted to kind of know if there is a huge difference. But again, the pregnancy. After birth, though, so let's first, before we get to after birth, beforehand, though, if you are pregnant, because now you're saying it's pregnancy that is causing pelvic floor, is there something you can do beforehand to help?
Yes.
Strengthen,
yes,
to ensure that there's less of an impact.
Yes. Oh, yes, for sure.
Prevention is better than cure.
Thank you. So, you love me. The nice thing about the pelvic floor is that our core, and I think a lot of women knows what the core is all about, our deep abdominal muscles.
Yeah.
I always say your core and floor works together. Yeah. Okay. So during pregnancy, if we think about the stretching happening in the abdominal area and the loading on the pelvic floor, both those muscle groups weakens. Okay. So during pregnancy, from very early until end of your pregnancy, you can actually keep on strengthening your pelvic floor and core.
Yeah.
And by doing pregnancy Pilates or going to a pelvic physio, just to get that core and floor, keeping it strong during pregnancy. Yeah. So you can definitely do something about it.
And I mean, like I said, now prevention is better than cure. And definitely, I remember, I know you don't even get that anymore, but I remember I did like preggy bellies and I did these really like serious exercise, or it wasn't serious, but exercises while I was pregnant already. But then now, once you had baby, what can you do then afterwards?
So afterwards, it's very important to start with rehabilitation as soon as possible. So that's the beauty of a vaginal delivery. You can start from the next day. Okay. So with normal vaginal delivery, I would say you can start right the next day with some of the, like, just small squeezes in the pelvic floor and just becoming aware of gently pulling in your tummy. And with a cesarean section, once the catheter is out, you can also do those very gentle movements. And usually there is a physiotherapist that assists women in the hospital post-pregnancy when you have your baby, and they can show you how to start doing it.
I feel like I did not have a physio.
Things changed. Maybe things changed.
It is true. It's 12, 14 years ago that but that's also one show I had beforehand as well, where I was trying to tell parents, sometimes this is stuff you have to ask for in the hospital. Because again, there are people in the hospital, and if it's not happening, maybe you should just ask, hey, can you send a physio to me? I would like to have this. And then someone would come and then help you for this. Because I do think it is, but now you say it's those small exercises we can start with. But is there something then later that you can then do more to help with the pelvic floor?
Yes. So after 6 weeks, that's usually what we call the postpartum time that needs to run out because of the relaxin that gets desecreted, that releases those ligaments to become a bit more soft. We just need that to get less so that you've got better stability and a less injury prone. But then at 6 weeks, you can start going to a physio or a biokineticist to start with nice strengthening exercises, or start to get back in your normal routine. If you're a runner, you can start by slowly running again and see.
You can. After 6 weeks, you're going to only be able to slowly run.
Yeah.
And it's longer than that because you still got pregnant as well. So it's probably more like 3-4 months that you couldn't run.
Yes. But what I usually suggest or tell the ladies in the hospital is that you can actually visit your physio about 2 weeks after, and just to make sure that you're doing this gentle exercise correctly, and then carry on with that. And after 6 weeks, then they can help you to get back into your normal exercising routine.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker, the show about pregnancy and babies, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Yes, if you've just joined me, you are on 101.9 Chai FM, and this is Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yunandi Becker. And today we're talking about pelvic floor health and the importance of it for overall health. And many times before I have spoken about, I mean, my own exercise journey, my own birthing journey. I mean, in all honesty, you can go listen to the podcast on chaifm.com and you'll have a lot. But I've said this many times, and even I remember last week speaking to Lisa as well about the gut health. It's for me always so amazing how intertwined the body is, and how things work together. It's very seldom that one thing is happening in isolation, but it's often your body is very interlinked. And I see that even with my exercise, where, you know, sometimes I would have a weird pain like at the side of my knee, but that's actually my IT band that goes up into my leg, and my butt might be sore because of my lower back and things like that. And it's amazing how these things are intertwined. And I think you've also now mentioned this, you know, the pelvic floor and the core that's also kind of connected. Yes. But that also now, you know, that's a big thing for me as well, even for me as a runner who's like in postpartum very long, not sneezing and peeing anymore, not coughing and peeing anymore. But it's been a journey that I have to say. Now I know that I should have had a physio in there from the beginning. Did not know that, but now I do. But what are some of the, before you go, Isabel, some of the daily habits or posture tweaks that we can make that can make a difference for our pelvic health floor?
Okay.
Pelvic floor health.
I think the most important thing is that you have to take care of yourself. So you don't, in the first 6 weeks, don't lift up heavy stuff like a full basket of wet washing. Rest when you can, and support your lower back when sitting, especially with breastfeeding. Put pillows on your lap to support baby better. And I think there's such a lot of things I can tell you, but the main thing is, I think, visit your physiotherapist. It doesn't need to be only a pelvic physio. That would be nice, but not if everyone has got one in their near vicinity, so that they can just give you individual advice, because we need none of us are the same.
Yeah.
So I think,
Isabel, it was really so wonderful to have you on the show today. I really honestly feel like this was only the tip of the iceberg.
It was.
and I feel there's a lot more we can cover. So I'm definitely going to have you on the show again. But before you go, I just want to find out, first of all, where can people find a trusted physio? Where can they go look for one? And where can they find you?
Okay, so we are not a lot of pelvic health physiotherapists, trained pelvic health physiotherapists. So I think, Yolani, the best way would be anyone can contact me and I can give you the cell phone number.
Yes.
It's my business cell phone, so don't worry. you won't get private messages from me. And the number is 076-828-0070, and then I can search for a pelvic health physio in your area.
Great. Oh, Isabel, it was so wonderful to talk to you. Again, like I said, I definitely want you to have another show with me. But
that will be lovely. Yes.
Have a wonderful day.